Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
End up on 188. Thick, cheering the Seahawks. And I began to say, it's amazing how the world emulates Christ without even knowing it. When Christ came into Jerusalem, they were lined up along the trail, thick, hollering Hosanna, Hosanna. And this is what they did. This is what the world does. It aligns itself up with what the Bible represents to keep people that are blind to the enlightenment of Christ fooled in thinking that's what it's all about. But I find it a difficult challenge for me to understand, if these things are permanent, why don't they last? I said to my wife, I said, boy, I sure hope the Seahawks win. Because there's going to be a whole bunch of psychotic people on the side of the road. Can you imagine? And this state is known for tree lovers. We find so many reasons to avoid giving God what he deserves. We find so many reasons on figuring out why we should not assemble ourselves at least once a week. Everything comes up. I'm guilty. I got to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. I made up my mind some time ago. I don't care how I feel. I need to be here to give God what I owe him. Amen. I thank God this morning for this opportunity, this pastor sharing his pulpit with us. The wife and I was sitting there, and I said, well, you know, look like your part of the church is going to need you there this morning. And I was told by somebody who said, well, I don't want my kids with just anybody. So I told her, you need to go downstairs this morning. So will you pray with me this morning and for me? We thank God for my friend back here. He's always backing me up. I mean, literally, backing me up. Let's go to the work in John, the 20th chapter. And I'm going to start in the first verse. I'll give you the title to what we're going to speak to you about this morning. But I'm going to ask you that you're going to need to pray with and for me. Because this scripture epitomizes what we as in this world is living through. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Therefore Peter went forth that other disciples and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and they outran Peter and came first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in, and the amenities of life that's supposed to create life and happiness in dead situations. We look here that people will go to situations that's supposed to create happiness and peace and become frustrated. We find people buying and selling and thinking that this is going to meet the need for life in permanency in situations, but it's only going to end up in a dead situation. We find people in marriages that can be a dead situation in their eyes. But I put it to you this morning that we are in a process of always searching and seeking life Ever since the devil fell from heaven and Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, it put us on the search for life. But because we have no concept other than through Jesus Christ of finding life, we're always going down a dead path. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. Do you not know that most of the world struggles on a day-to-day basis looking for life? And we try drugs, and we try alcohol, and we try this, and we try that, looking for life. And then we get into the situation of finding that we are disappointed at every hand. But thank God for Jesus. These journeys that we go through. I myself have been on so many journeys. When I was thugging, Pastor, I wasn't always a sharp-dressing preacher. When I was thugging, I was going to all the dead places. I don't know if they still had them, but they had after hours. And I used to go to the after hours every Friday, Saturday night. Because that's where I found my, I was supposed to find my life, my junk, you know. I would go to the after hours, and every once in a while, somebody would get killed in the after hours. Now, look at the logic of this. So-and-so was killed last weekend in after hours. You just happened not to be there. Where are you going this weekend? I'm going to after hours. Looking for life in a dead situation. We find that we see nothing on TV but people dying by putting themselves in situations that will cause death. But they made a decision to look for their life there. I'm troubled because I see so many people in a situation that cannot figure out how to get out of it. Now, we got attorneys in this building, so you know your client that was guilty. You know he was guilty, but he's looking for a way out. So your job is not to make him tell the truth. It's on him to tell the truth. Amen? It's on him to tell the truth. But you know he's lying. So he's using a dead situation. He's using a dead act to try to create a life. But they end up with life, in jail or out of jail. They still got to live with that sin. So we find these disciples. See, we studied something that's been on my spirit. Pastor gave us a lesson on a Wednesday night before that says human reasoning. And we chewed human reasoning up. Human reasoning is when we make our mind up on what we think God wants us to do. Not listening to God, but when we figure it out. How many of y'all ever figured it out? You know, I thought I figured it out at 19 years old. Then at 22 years old, I'm sure I had it. At 32 years old, I was just about to finish up what I thought I was getting ready to get started on. And at 60 years old, I figured it out. Seek God. When you make up your mind to go and seek God, you won't go to the after hours. When you make up your mind to go see God, you won't go where you know you won't find him. You go with the last place you heard he was at. This is what the disciples did. They went to the grave of where Jesus was supposed to be. But the difficulty that baffled them was they didn't remember his word. Somebody say his word. His word is life. He said, I will be buried and raised. So they went and forgot that he said he was going to be raised. Amen? We have to hold on to the word. In Christ is life. In Christ is peace. In Christ is joy. In Christ is harmonious existence. We can only make it work in this life if we seek Christ. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Latin term of righteousness is his image. I want to be like Jesus. I'm sorry. I just spent so many years being like Woodley and Woodley ain't that cool. You know, I'm temporary. I am extremely temporary. But I want to be like Jesus. I want to be able to be a father to my children. I want to be a husband to my wife. I want to be worth and valued in what I do, in my endeavors. I don't want to be homeless when I die. You know where homeless people go when they get buried? To a mortuary. To a mortuary, not to a church. Because they ain't invested in no church. I don't want to have to pay no preacher I don't know to come preach my funeral. I don't want nobody to have to make up something about my spiritual life. I don't want them have to extrapolate from the Bible to make me look like I got a chance to go to heaven. I want them to know something about my life. I want you to know that I'm living all I can till I can live again. I want you to know that I'm seeking God in every way that I can be used by him this morning. Come on and tell God thank you. These disciples had forgot what Christ said. And you know, when you forget what Jesus has told you, you panic. You get scared. Oh, praise God. That's what the devil's been doing me all week. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, please. Please, I can't stand people had a phone ringing in church. It is our job to stay focused. Pastor said something about Ritalin. Well, they got a new drug called Concerta, and Concerta helps people focus. Don't do you like Ritalin, but it's still a drug. But I'm telling you what I learned about Christ. If you ask him to touch you, to fix the situation, if you ask him honestly, he will. If you find yourself in a dead situation and you ask God to step in and you move yourself out the way, he'll fix it. Oh, God, I know what I'm talking about. You can wake up and it look like it ain't going to be no daylight. In the type of life I live, I got to constantly pray, get me through this day. You ever been happy to see a Friday? I'd be happy to see Fridays, you know, because, all the phone calls are supposed to stop and all the challenges are supposed to go away, you know. All this supposed to, you know, make it work for us. But it don't, you know. But when you ask God to step in, this is the unreasonable peace he will give you. He'll move into your situation and give you peace knowing that he's taking the responsibility. He said, cast all your cares on me. He don't mean he like you. He will take the chance, take the responsibility of caring for you. He'll take your stress and give you his peace. You give him your downs, he'll give you his ups. This is what it means. So when you forget what the word has said, you suffer. When you forget what the word has said, you go looking for him in all the wrong places. There's no reason for me to run to my mama about $200,000 worth of debt. You better go tell Jesus. I know this is what mama would say. You better go tell Jesus, boy. You need to understand that it is time for us to grow up and be Christ. It's time for us to get out of ourselves and get out of our way. We're trying to figure it out ourselves. We're trying to raise grown people. You better let God handle them. I got two grown sons. And I tried to give Harold one this week. Harold called me back. Basically said, is this your son? You got to turn situations over to God. Quit looking for him in dead places, in dead situations. Every time I saying they want to sue somebody, I just shake my head. It just don't make sense to me. I mean, I got two lawyers I love. They're my brothers, you know. But lawyers and the legal system, first of all, lawyers ain't even controlling nothing. Oh, come on and tell God thank you this morning. They act like they are. They got all the words and they can write and they burn up a lot of paper, a lot of emails, make a lot of phone calls. But the bottom line, they ain't in charge of nothing. And when you settle back and understand, it's only what God allows them to do. Amen? When you move yourself out the way and quit looking with human reasoning on how it should be, that's when God can work. I know he's supposed to treat you better. You know, like old song, I know that young girl get weary. Young girls sometimes get weary wearing that same old shabby dress. That's reasoning. That song a little older than y'all. That's old as Redding. Human reasoning will tell you what you think it needs to be. Human reasoning will tell you what the other person should be thinking. Human reasoning will make a fool out of you. Because you will sit up and say, I never thought they would do nothing like that. But sin is going to do what it wants to do. The question is, what will sinners do? That's their job, to sin. We need to move ourselves out of human reasoning and let spiritual reality step in. How does this happen? First, you got to know Jesus. And then you got to step out of the natural into the supernatural. And the supernatural is where the belief of what the word of God has said to you through his word. Belief will take you out of the impossibilities of the natural to the achieving the impossibilities of the supernatural. Does this make sense? Somebody said the lottery is the way out. I know a lot of folks still ain't hit the lottery. Preachers, too, they still try to hit the lottery. It ain't in the natural. Because this natural is temporary. He said it is given to us 70. In other words, we're going to die. We're going to die. Trust me. You're going to leave everything here. My stepfather died, and he wasn't very kind to me as a child. And when I grew up, you know, first thing I wanted to do was get out of my mama's house at 16 years old because I was tired of the cussings and the beatings. Okay? And so when I grew up, I did some ugly things. First of all, I retired my parents, and I would give them money every week. My mother, I would send the money to her. My stepfather, I made him stand outside my office and wait for long periods of time for him. That was my human reasoning of getting even. But he died, and that's when reality hit. It was my job to go through his stuff and decide what is junk and what is worth keeping. This is what life amounts to. Everything you value, you're going to leave behind. And somebody going to come by and say, this is junk and this is worth keeping. All your prized possessions, this is junk and this is worth keeping. Don't forget the word. If you know Jesus, you can say like Peter said, Lord, save me. Why? He remembered that Christ is a savior. If you know Jesus, you can say, Lord, deliver me. He is quick to deliver you out of your situation. You got to look for him where he's at. He's not in a natural situation. He's not at the Seahawk game. He ain't in the clubs, somebody. He is in the word. That's why we come here to get the word. You want to get out these situations? You got to call on Jesus this morning. Peter came. Peter was old. That's when them folks ran him over. Be just like me and Pastor Marquise running. Marquise loved to tell me how old I am. You know, but I might be slow, but I'm steady. They overran Peter. Peter was an old man by then. Peter had already disappointed Jesus. Listen. Jesus knew in this life there's going to be disappointments. He did it himself. On the cross, Peter, whom he loved, looked up at him in a backslidden condition. And Jesus looked at him and he couldn't handle it. Disappointment. Peter had denied him when it was the perfect chance for him to stand up for what he was professing. Dead situations this morning. On our jobs, we get into dead situations with gossip. I hired a lady that made up her mind. She was there 3 days and made up her mind to contact everybody in my organization in both locations and start a pan movement against me. And I mean, just had it going on. And so each one, I see, this is the thing about business. When you write the checks, people are loyal to the check. Hey, they'll tell you they're loyal to you, but come on, get real. You don't pay them. You see how loyal they are. So the loyalty came and said, well, listen, Pastor, I don't know what she's trying to do, but this is the text or email she sent me. And so when I questioned her, she said, I figured out it was my responsibility to stand up for these folks. I said, really? She says, I think that you're not treating people fairly. You know, you have your attitude about how you want things done. And so, human reasoning, I had to ask her, who do you think I am? Well, you're the owner. Okay, you know that then. She said, yes. I said, well, why do you think you need to stand up for somebody that has a relationship with me for years and you got a relationship for 2 weeks? Because that's my right to. I said, all right. That's not one to hear. You're fired. That's my right. Human reasoning makes a fool out of you. So here we are. They went to find Jesus and he was gone. And this is what God will do. As long as you're looking for him, he'll leave you a message. And there was an angel inside the grave that said, "To whom you come to seek, he's lived up to his word. He's moved on. He's no longer here. You got to go where he's at." And even with the frustration, they went on and said, "I go back to what I was doing." Your frustration do that, human reasoning. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up again and asks him, "Have you any meat? Now that you're fishing." This is how Jesus do things. He comes when he wants to. He shows up when he wants to. You can call on him, but he operates on a different timetable. I'm not going to say it. But suddenly and immediately he operates. He showed up. And all of a sudden we remembered, oh yeah. He said he was going to rise and not be there anyway. Somebody remembers that God said that if you call on my name, I'll save you. I'll deliver you. I will fix you. I will handle all your problems. Just call on me and trust in me. You see, that trust is earned already because he died on a cross one day for you. He was buried in a borrowed grave of which we speak of this day. If you believe that God is and Jesus was the Son of God and that he died on a cross and was buried in a borrowed grave and was raised in 3 days, if you believe that, you can be saved. If you truly believe it, it will change your behavior. It will take you out of believing or moving into dead situations. If you believe it. See, this is the thing. You got to be saved from something. If you accept Christ and believe him, the fact that your belief is in Jesus Christ, you will be delivered from the things that's dead for you. You will be delivered from going to dead situations. You will be delivered from being in dead marriages and dead relationships and dead friendships. There's a way out. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. I'm the door. You need to use it. Oh, come on and tell God thank you this morning. I love God today. He gave me a chance. He gave me a chance to come out of a dead situation. I spent 30-something years on drugs, and God delivered me. God didn't put me through no 12-step program. He didn't take me and put a patch on me for me to stop smoking. He didn't make me leave that Hennessy. I gave it all to Jesus. I came to him just as I was. I didn't have no method of preparation for him to do this for me. I found out I couldn't save myself, so I called on Jesus. Lord, save me. If you save me this day, I'll serve you. Oh, God, right now. Some of us are still wondering, how do I negotiate my way into heaven? I'm a good negotiator. But let me give you a hint. I don't know how to do that one other through Jesus Christ. I could just see this. Some of my partners drunk. When Jesus come back, he steps in and says, it's time to go. And he reads the names out of the book of life. And all of a sudden, Pookie hollers, oh, whoa, Jesus. Oh, hold on a minute here. You know me. And he hears these words. I know you not. This is the challenge. Some people are worried about pre and post tribulation. It's going to pan out in the end. It's going to pan out in judgment day. I'm putting myself in the way of salvation. Because you know why? He proves it to me in this life. He proves it to me in this life. I'm here. I ain't supposed to be here. I was sitting in here, this church, 6 months ago, worried about everything. Every single, man, why don't they do this? And why don't they do that? And this is going on, and that going on. My wife is saying this, and this is that, and that. And this. Once I turned it over to Jesus, I could care less. You know why? Now, this is going to sound morbid. I'm going to die and leave this mess here. You know? And, you know, I mean, really. Really, this is the bottom line. If you are seeking to find permanency in this life, you're in a dead situation. And you're fooling yourself. I love my boys, but I really love my grandchildren. Y'all too young to know about this. You love them babies, and they're going to give you a whole lot of headache while you're loving them. They're going to give you a whole lot of disappointment. But the grandbabies, they don't really ever disappoint you because they go home. You know, but I made up my mind. I said, these are my children. I got healthy, strong, smart, intelligent children that don't realize who God is, even though most of their life they were fed through the efforts that I did for Christ. I had to come to the conclusion that they're only loaned to me. These are not my property. So I said, Lord, I'm giving these kids back to you. I'm not going to have no more sleepless nights. I refuse to tie my brain up with their insanity. It doesn't mean I don't like them, don't love them. But they got the same opportunity I have. And if they choose to go through heartbreak and insanity and don't call on Jesus, I'm sorry for them. Well, better than that, how's that working for you? You know? And you'll get to this point. It's going to take some time for you that don't have not there yet. You'll get to this point. Because God has set up the measurement of understanding that he will take care of it for you. And that is in all aspects. All aspects. I know this message was for me this morning. I woke up this morning and somebody texted me one of the most ugliest emails that you can get on a Sunday morning. I can expect it Monday through Friday. You know, that's part of the job. But personal stuff. And what I had said to this individual is I mail your check Thursday, and it should be in your mailbox today. Well, it wasn't there. I was such a liar, and I was this, and I was that, and I was this, and I was that. And so it vexed me, took me totally out of my message today. And I texted him back. I said, look, you know, you just can't be texting me, threatening me. You know, let me tell you what we can do. I threw you in there, Harold. I said, if you need to talk to me and you can't have no respect for me and everything is concerning this legal contract we have with each other and you don't think I'm living up to it, I will give you someone you can talk to that can bind us to a legal commitment because you don't trust me. I'm telling you this check, it was mailed out Thursday, and it wasn't there Saturday. I said, what I will do is go to the bank on Monday, get a cashier's check, and bring it to you. But no, you got to write me this email. I said, did they make this your last one, mister? This is some things you got to tell the devil to buck up off me. Leave me alone. I mean, this is somebody that's paid. This is some added stuff. His bill was paid already, but this is added stuff he brought up. And I just said, okay, I took care of it. But now, this is what the devil wants to do. He wants to take your focus off of him. He wants you to start being broken and crying and fearful. The enemy wants to take you from your high place and bring you down to your low place. The enemy wants to tell you that seeking somebody invisible is ridiculous. The enemy wants to laugh at you because one day you're going to wake up and say, I'll take Jesus for mine. I've tried everything else. Now I'm going to try Jesus today. We need to come to the place that only God is the answer. Oh, Jesus is the answer. You look at this world is crazy. I've been watching TV. TV was started in 1950. I think we got our first TV in 1957. And know how you had color TV? You put these green screens in front of it. Yeah. And you never saw nobody cutting nobody's head off. You never saw people being shot and put into mass graves. There was never hurricanes washing whole cities away and floods like never. Oh, God. You never saw a government against itself that the government almost go bankrupt and call itself America. You never saw the police who are supposed to protect us shoot us down like dogs and excuse themselves. I'm sure they did it, but they didn't put it on TV. So when they put it on TV, that means it's socially acceptable. You never seen men marrying men and women marrying women. You never saw legal systems letting alternative relationships adopt children and having a son with two women with no identity. You never saw women making up their mind they don't need men to raise their children, and men saying we don't need women. This is where you're at today. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're in a bad situation. This is a mess. I was watching, I was looking, I'm a new member on Facebook. And I told my wife, I got followers. No, you don't have followers. You have friends. Well, they keep texting me. They're friends. So I found out, most of these folks, I don't know. But I saw an old video clip of Richard Pryor playing like he was the first black president. And they asked all these questions. And he answered them intelligently. And finally, a Caucasian gentleman from Georgia got up and said, I'd like to ask you a question about your mama. He wanted to come off the podium and fight him. And he says, no, this man deserves to ask this question. And he says, seeing that your mother cleaned houses and you're getting ready to move to Washington, I mean, you're living in Washington now, can she come and clean my house? He did come out of the podium and start fighting this man. But the caption of this thing was Richard Pryor playing Obama in 1962. Disrespect wholesale in this country. This is the challenge you have today. You can stay stuck. Sign of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and getting the same results. Anybody there? You can stay stuck on stupid. Come on now. I mean, you can stay stuck or you can call on where some help is at. Old lady, 75 years old, got all the money she could ever use. You know, I look at her. I don't look at her as a checkbook or nothing, Pastor. I know what you're getting ready to say. But I look at her and I say, man, if my mother had it made like this, why would she come to me for relief? And all I said to this woman, well, you don't have no spiritual reality. That's all it is. You don't pray. You don't call on God. You're trying to use your human reasoning in a dead, because your husband died, your granddaughter died in 2 months. You're stuck on grieving. You're definitely stuck in a dead situation. You can't see past the casket. And the only way you can is that you ask God to help you. This is what ministry does. I said, right now is your chance to get off the dime. She said, what do you mean? I said, I told her the story of Mr. Homer back in Oklahoma when I was a kid. My mother used to leave me with Mr. Homer because he was a good old man and he used to babysit me. And he told me these wonderful stories all of that. But he had this dog that laid on the porch next to him, and he'd be rocking and telling me stories. And he would say this, that, and the other, and then all of a sudden the dog would holler. I'm saying, well, you know. So then he kept on talking like nothing had happened. Pretty soon the dog would holler again. So I said, wait a minute, Mr. Homer, what's up with the dog? He said, what you mean? I said, don't you hear him? What's up with the dog? He said, oh, he's laying on a nail. He'll move when it hurts bad enough. This is what we do. We lay on the nail. We complain about it. But it don't hurt bad enough yet. You make that change when it hurt bad enough. You make that move when you can't get no better. This is my lesson today. We laying on nails. Some of us are laying on nails. Got saved but never progressed. You know? God accept Christ, believe God, but never really changed My modus operandi. How you like that? It's unreal that we think that we can operate in Christ like we operated in the world. You know, the lady told me, she said, Pastor, that was a good message this morning, and I really believe in what you said. But do you mean we got to give up all our sins? I said, through Christ, yes. She said, well, I can't do that. And I said, sister, why? She said, I got to have some fun. Human reasoning. In dead situations. Ain't getting no better. Ain't getting no better. I'm still trying to fix it, but it ain't getting no better. No matter how much you cry about not having gas, unless you get up and go get some gas, that car ain't going to run. It ain't going to move. This day, and I'm winding up, they accuse me of the mini preacher because I do many sermons. This day is your day to make that commitment. And you know what? This commitment that I'm talking about is not a showing of emotions. I was raised in an emotional church. As long as I was running and jumping and hiding and all that stuff, man, I was cool with the church. In other words, I learned how to live safe in front of folks. But when I got by myself, when I finally got saved, I was able to stay saved by myself. This commitment is to allow grace of God to come in and fully change you. I asked the Lord, I said, will you help me get off these drugs? He says, if you quit buying them, I'll take the desire away. I said, bet. Not a problem. I said, can you settle me down to one woman? If you clean yourself up, I'll give you a wife. I said, not a problem. I quit looking. If you ask God sincerely what you want and be obedient on what he tells you to do and let the Spirit lead you. Now, this ain't going to happen naturally. You got to be in a special frame of mind to talk to God in the spiritual realm. And the only avenue he's given us is praying through Jesus Christ to him. Once you start praying, you're stepping out of the natural and into the supernatural. This is the challenge. We gotta really understand. And the deal for me was I closed my eyes. Because as long as I was looking at something, my human reasoning said, this is crazy. But when I closed my eyes, not only was my senses turned on to what I was feeling, I began to understand where I was trying to go. These men had went to the dead situation that Christ had already left. They needed to go to a spiritual supernatural, because you're going to need supernatural activity to help you live in this world. They needed to go where God had placed himself to be met. Does this make sense to anybody this morning? You need to step out of this and quit going to dead places, looking for life, and step into the supernatural and look for Jesus Christ, who has life and life more abundantly. This morning, it's on you to make a decision for you. You can't do it as a group. I'm going to tell you this. As close as me and Marquise is, we can't reach Jesus together. It's an individual affair. That's when he said, when the rapture come, some gonna leave and some gonna be gone. Husbands gonna leave and some of the wives are gonna be here. I took it that way. And you're going to be wondering, where are they at? Because they believe in the supernatural. I don't know about you, but I want God to use me. I'm tired of being used up.
disappointed, let down. We thank God for His Son, Jesus Christ, who rose on the third day. Will you stand with me this morning?
I want to pray for you. Because this is.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.